The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus came down with the 12 apostles and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. So I don't know where I heard it first, but every pastor eventually has this saying quoted to them. It's a preacher's job to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I was surprised to learn that this saying actually comes from the newspapers, the newspaper business. It's a phrase that originated during journalism's muckraking days about a century ago from the humorist Finley Peter Dunn, as he was writing as his bartender alter ego, Mr. Dooley. Mr. Dooley says, "The newspaper does everything for us. It runs the police force and the banks, commands the militia, controls the legislature, baptizes the young, marries the foolish, comforts the afflicted, afflicts the comfortable, and buries them dead and roasts them afterward." That's the best Irish brogue you'll ever get out of me. The work of journalist Connie Schultz of The Plain Dealer in Cleveland caught the eye of the Pulitzer Prize Board in 2005. It awarded her the Commentary Prize for her pungent columns that provided a voice for the underdog and the underprivileged. In this April 1st, 2004 column on the practice of tipping, the affliction of the comfortable comes in the form of questions asked by her to the people responsible for the tipping policy. She posed, "Why do you care? Why are you asking? Why does this matter? Is this newsworthy?" Schultz writes, "If you've ever used a coat check, you probably noticed a tip jar on the counter at evening's end. You might stick a bill or two into that jar without even thinking about who's getting the tip. You probably assume it's the person behind the counter, usually a woman, that gets the money." "That's certainly what I assumed," she wrote. She goes on, "In the last year, I attended 3 charity events at a popular banquet hall in town. At the end of each dinner, I picked up my wrap at the coat check counter, and one of those times I pointed to the large tip jar bulging with bills and said to the weary clerk, 'Well, at least you get a decent amount of tips for standing here all night.' She shook her head and said, 'Oh, we don't get to keep those.' I thought I misheard her. 'What? We don't get to keep the tips. Who does?' I asked. She resisted telling me, but I pressed. 'Management,' she said softly. 'How does that make you feel?' I asked. She shrugged her shoulders. 'Life isn't fair, right?' Later, 2 vice presidents from the parent company that owns the restaurant called me on speakerphone. Evidently, word got back to them of my inquiries. 'We're confused,' they said. 'How is this newsworthy? Why does this matter?' they asked." Ms. Schultz writes with liberal sarcasm, You see, the newspaper is just supposed to bring the news, no opinions, no conclusions, no trouble, right? And then she asks the reader, what do you think? What do you think? You know, that's really all Jesus is doing today, don't you think? Simply bringing the news of God's kingdom to the people right there on that level place. Not from a high position, not with any fanfare, just the facts. Just like any good, knowledgeable reporting, the facts can bring good news to some and not so good news, uncomfortable news to others. These are the Beatitudes, pulled from the headlines, the Lucan special edition, the blessed R's. Four of them, very different from Matthew's nice and comforting, beautiful ones. Ah, the meek will inherit the earth. From Luke, we hear, blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, defame you on the account of the Son of Man. And Luke also gives us a bonus publication, which we don't get in the Matthew edition, the woes. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. So now I ask, what do you think about this news? I'm thinking that Jesus' listeners might be very confused. At first glance, and probably even at second and third looks, those blessings feel a heck of a lot more like things that bring woe. And the others, riches, good food, prestige, and adoration, those are what should make us happy, right? I mean, just listen to the words of some contemporary preachers. Well, you need to hear about money because you ain't going to have no love and joy and peace until you get some money. Or God's dream is that you have an abundance, that you will be totally out of debt, pay your house off, pay off your credit cards, and have so much overflow that you can be a blessing to others. And here's my favorite. You are on the verge of complete breakthrough in every area of your life. Spiritually, financially, relationally, God has shown me that this is a season of victory for his people. Well, folks, I hate to break it to you. You're not going to hear much prosperity gospel from Jesus or from me. I think it might be helpful for us to listen to the way that Eugene Peterson and his contemporary version of the scripture, the message, has to translate this piece from Luke. And perhaps we might listen with a few of those questions Ms. Schultz presents to us. Why do you care? Why does this matter? Is this good news worthy? That's my editing. Is this gospel worthy? So this is from the message. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is now there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when your tears flow freely because joy will come in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time somebody cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is the truth is too close for comfort and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens, for even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds you. And I know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like that. But it's trouble if you think you have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead when you think your life is all fun and games. There's suffering to be met. And you're likely to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. Now what do you think? Somebody said to me yesterday, one of the sayings that they heard was that, you know, that in your funeral procession, there will not be a U-Haul hauling all your stuff behind you. So what do you notice? What do all these blessings have in common? I see in these blessings a kind of poverty, a stripping away of the ego that allows us to then become free and completely dependent upon God. And what do the woes have in common? Just the opposite. All of them anchored in this self-seeking satisfaction. And yes, there is a blessing in having enough to share. Of course there is. But if that blessing of having enough becomes a curse of woe for us, it's when we own it. When we own it wholeheartedly and do not share. Sometimes it comes to me that you may be tired of hearing the same teaching over and over and over, and the same sermon preached in all kinds of different ways. But you see, Jesus never goes too far from his central message of his ministry, the nature of God and God's kingdom. And it's pretty good material to work with overall. Jesus preached and demonstrated that God's way is about what happens right now in this world, caring for the least, siding with the poor and the marginalized. Jesus also called us to live deeply and spiritually into trusting God's Spirit and not solely on our own capacity. And I want to touch on this point because I really think it's important, the way that this has traditionally been looked at. These blessings and curses. When Jesus names the poor and hungry as blessed, he is not talking about some long-term waiting game that being poor and hungry is what God desires for anyone. That's false teaching, and it's one that has supported many harmful assumptions for those that teach that being poor and suffering brings people closer to heaven. Jesus' consistent message is that God is love and the kingdom is in the here and the now. And so we need to live and act as though we believe it. Don't let your God-given gifts and blessings become your woes. Reach out in Jesus' name to another soul and together become a blessing to each other. Here on this level place where God sees us and stands with us, Jesus wants us to know that there is a blessing in being hungry for God, in loving the people that God loves. And when it becomes hard to see, and when the hardships of life get in our way, know that Jesus stands right there on that level place with you. God sees you and wants you to know that you're blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. This is God's grace. And we are given the grace to live as God's children, caring for each other through each blessing and each woe. And that is newsworthy. Amen.